Good morning and welcome back to another episode of Motherhood on Mondays. And I am Jessica, your host. I'm a 32-year-old stay-at-home mom that lives in the Pacific Northwest, raising two boys, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, who loves Jesus and I love the Lord. And I love to share the gospel and how we can live out the gospel in our motherhood so that we can discern well, so that we can be equipped to walk out the gospel and stand firm when we are trying to discern truth from almost truth in the parenting world. Which if you are a mom or if you are a wife just listening to this, you already know we are thrown constant messages at us every week. And we need to be able to discern well. We need to be strong in our faith, but we also need to be good theologians as moms. And so I love sharing that in the podcast. I have a little Instagram called Refined Purpose, and I share my life over there too. So if you are new here, hello, my name is Jessica, and I just am so excited that you're here. I just am so passionate about moms and community. And today I want to talk a little bit more about my podcast that I released last week and just maybe provide a little bit of clarity about why we chose to share last week's podcast. There's a lot of different perspectives. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, it's called When Grief Strikes. And if you listen to it, I definitely was not my usual self. I wasn't as chipper. You could kind of tell I was tired. I was drained. It was just raw. And we were sharing about the fact that we've been walking through in this season, experiencing a second miscarriage. I have two sons and I had a miscarriage before I had my first son. And now I've experienced my second one as we were trying to expand our family to three. And so I shared that on the podcast last week. And there's so many perspectives in the world when it comes to miscarriages, whether you've experienced one or not. You know, there's a lot of preconceptions about those things. And today I want to talk about like why I would share that and why that's something that I didn't just keep private. There's a lot of people who fall on the side of like, I don't want to share my miscarriage because that's private, that's between me. And then there's people that do want to share it. And then you have people all in between of, you know, you shouldn't share that for attention on social media. You shouldn't use that for content on social media. And so I want to explain kind of why I shared, which first and foremost, whether you decide to share or not, there's no wrong. You know, it's up to you in deciding how you want to handle that best. Six years ago, when we experienced our first miscarriage, we had fallen out of community. We were in between churches. We were kind of in between friend groups, and we were starting to try to have our first son, but we were in between churches. And when we had it, our marriage was not very firm in our faith. We were still very young in our marriage. We were still very immature and not being plugged into community and not being strongly like abiding in Christ. And then having that experience of a miscarriage really rocked both of us to our cores. And we just felt like we were drowning. We're like tossed to and fro. It was really, really hard on our marriage. I was extremely depressed, and so was Thomas. And I was also suicidal. It rocked me to my core. And through that period of time, we got plugged back into church. We were healing. We were, you know, coming back to our relationship with Christ that we had kind of neglected during that time. And eventually, a couple months after, my sister-in-law at the time, she had a blog, and I decided to share on her blog. And during that time, I just had so much shame and so much fear and so much guilt over the experience of having a miscarriage, because at that time, 6 years ago, it wasn't as talked about. It wasn't something that was as public. I didn't know as many people that had experienced it. And it was still almost like this topic that was like taboo to talk about. And so for me, when I shared my story 6 years ago, it was from this place of breaking free of the shame, breaking free of the guilt, and breaking free of the fear, and also just making it more of a normal thing for people to talk about and bringing it to light, because it shouldn't be something that people are afraid to talk about. And it's almost like they always mention, you know, you shouldn't tell your pregnancy till 12 weeks because what if something happens? And I always say, no, you should share whenever you want, because it's such a worthy thing to celebrate regardless of the stage you're in. So for me, I experienced a lot of shame, and I felt like literally like I was suffering in silence. That's what it felt like. I was suffering, I was grieving, but no one could see it. And it was just private, and I felt like I couldn't talk about it. And so for me, in sharing it, I wanted to be not only a message to other people that there was hope in what they were experiencing, but I also wanted to glorify God in that we had had this experience, but God had been incredibly faithful to us. And so we had already shared that we had had that first miscarriage. So like I'd already talked about it. But then with the second one, you know, with choosing to share or to not share, it kind of came down to some people really don't like it when other people share their miscarriages, because to them, their miscarriage was an extremely personal, private thing, and that's totally fine. And so last night I was like laying in bed, and you know, I was kind of just, I pray and I spend time, you know, talking with God at that time. And you know, some people don't like to share, and that's totally fine. But for me, and in the process of finding out God's purpose for me and walking through that incredibly hard scenario, is that my mess is my message. My wound is my story of God's faithfulness. And it's something that I share because it is my ministry. My mess is my ministry. My mess is my message. And it might look a little messy now, but it is ultimately a message of God's faithfulness in my life that I want to share with other women who are struggling in that season. And it is a part of my ministry of where I have gotten to have the honor and the privilege of walking with other people during their grief, whether that's people that have publicly shared their struggles or just privately behind doors. I've walked through their struggles of infertility or their miscarriage. It is a part of my ministry here on my page of where, you know, I'm either talking with people here on my Instagram, or I'm, you know, privately walking with people in their own personal lives through grief. And for a really long time, I didn't understand why I had my first miscarriage. And even now with this second one, I don't fully understand. I know, having experienced it once, that God can use it. And whether that's for in a public way or even just privately, what God has taught us, you know, spiritually through spiritual growth in the valley. There's a verse that I always take really great comfort in, having experienced this really hard circumstance that we are healing from, and it's 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, and it's this is what it says: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And this is just such a comforting passage of knowing that God is close to us in our suffering, but also the purpose in that we have been comforted by Christ in our suffering. But now what do we get to do with that? We also get to comfort others with the same comfort that we received from Christ. And so for me, in sharing and having this ability, you know, I open up this space of where other people know she's experienced this, and she's talked openly about it without any shame, without any fear. Maybe I can talk to her about what I'm going through. And you know, there is this well-known saying, is that You know, people don't like perfect people, but when you open up and you share about something that you're vulnerable, that shows that you aren't just this curated perfect thing, people almost like you better when they find out you're not perfect, which is such a common ground. And that's not necessarily my motivation in sharing, but you know, people identify with people who've gone through the same struggles as them. And if you have maybe just experienced a miscarriage for the same time and you're battling shame or fear, you're much more likely to talk to someone or be open to someone who you know has already experienced those things because you can identify with them. And so for me, it's not about this miscarriage being content, but it's about it being a message. It's a message of what God is doing in my life, of where, you know, Paul constantly asked God to remove a thorn in his side. And for me, my wounds point to the glory of God, and my weakness is made perfect through Christ. So it's not me, but it's let me tell you of the story of what God has done here in this really painful situation that we are walking through. And it doesn't get easier experiencing it the second time. You still have the exact same pain. It's still this grief of walking through losing a child, and that is really hard. There's still a lot of feelings there. And going through it a second time when you have children that are alive adds this layer to it, because now you're not only grieving the fact that you've lost a child, but you're also grieving that your children have lost a sibling, and that's a new area to navigate. And also, do I tell my kids? Do I not tell my children? You know, they're young. They can tell that mommy is really laid up in bed right now, but they also aren't fully sure. Is this an opportunity to share with my kids about heaven? How do we handle that? So for me, you know, my response to people that, you know, should you share, should you not share? For me, this is my ministry. For me, this is my mess, is my message. And I want other people to know it's okay to share and have a safe place. Now, I am really fortunate in the sense of the people in my life, my community grieves with us. You know, I haven't had people say anything rude to me, but not everyone has that space. You know, there are a lot of people who have experienced this that have people say really rude things to them, of like, oh, well, at least you can try again. Or God knew something was wrong with the baby, so that's why it happened. You know, I am very fortunate of where everyone in my life would never say those things. They are well versed in how to comfort people. But there's going to be other people that don't have that space. If I can open up a place of where they can feel free to talk about their grief and process it, I am more than willing to share the hard, because it's the reality of life. It gets messy. There's messes, but there's also a message in that, and it's to point to God, and even in the hard things, God is glorified. But the other point in wanting to kind of share more on this today is to share kind of, you know, a lot of people feel like, you know, why did I have to experience this pain? This pain is so pointless. I wish I didn't have to go through this. No, don't get me wrong. I don't like to go through it either at all. And last night I was like laying in bed, and other people have kind of shared this as well, but I'm going to share it kind of from my perspective of I was laying in bed, and you know, sometimes we pray for God to deliver us from things. We ask God to save us from the hardship. And sometimes deliverance looks like going through the fire, you know. God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to obey God, but God's deliverance for them didn't look like removing the hard obstacle. And you know, so often in our lives we want to, you know, thank God in the easy things because it's easy and it doesn't require pain or being stretched, or it doesn't require growth from us. But sometimes deliverance for us, and sometimes God answers for us, is for us to go through the trial. And last night I was laying in bed, and he just brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to my heart of just God's deliverance for them looked like them going through the fire. Now, they had to go through something scary. Can you imagine having to face that trial, like, of God, we know we have to obey, but we're being threatened with our lives. God, you know, we don't know if we're going to come out of this alive or dead. But even if, you know, even, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, his deliverance didn't look like God keeping him from going through the really scary thing. And that didn't mean that those people weren't scared or terrified facing those things, you know. And I hope that those, that I, you know, I can imagine they probably had this peace in knowing, like, whether or not God delivers us life-wise, you know, doesn't necessarily mean we don't have to go through those things. And so Daniel is such a, the book of Daniel is a really great place to read in this, because, whoever in Daniel 3, they talk about the fiery furnace. And so there, I'm going to read from 12 on. And so there are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So these men were brought before the king, and he answered to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up?" And so they got brought before the king, and they ultimately had to be, they had to be obedient to Christ. And, you know, I'm sure they prayed, "God, you know, save us from the fiery furnace, save us from, you know, this thing that's going to happen to us." But ultimately, being obedient and faithful to God, no matter what the answer was. And he was filled with fury, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And then he ordered the mighty men of his army to bind them up and cast them in the burning fiery furnace. And so they were bound up and tossed into the flames of the fire. Now, he rose up and he, you know, wanted to see, are these men making it through the fire? You know, surely this is so hot, it's going to instantly kill them. You know, I cannot imagine. And it killed the soldiers that threw them into the fire. It killed those men. Like, so the men that were throwing them in the fire, they were burned, just to show how hot this fire was. And he was astonished because there was 4 men in the fire, and the 4th is like the son of gods. And he realized, oh my goodness, this is the one true God. And you know, I can only imagine what these men experienced walking through the fire and how that transformed their lives. Now, you know, did they feel the heat? Did they not? You know, we obviously aren't able to just talk to these men who experienced the fire to say, "Hey, was it really hot when you were in there? What was that like?" You know, but they were clearly unharmed, but they had to go through the fire to be delivered. And so often in our lives, we think that deliverance means not experiencing the really hard thing, but sometimes God in his grace puts us through the trial, not because he doesn't care about us, but because he loves us so much. And he knows that whatever it is that you're going through is going to bring glory to him. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that God's deliverance from us is going to be us being spared. Sometimes it means going through the really, really hard trial, going through the fire, and God being glorified through that. Sometimes, you know, for me, I explain it of, whereas God in his faithfulness, my first miscarriage showed me places in my life where I had not built my foundation firmly in Christ. And experiencing that first miscarriage was a total washout of beliefs that I'd put into my faith that were not solidly planted in Christ. And so sometimes our trials that we face, sometimes going into the fire of whatever we're experiencing, is to refine us. Sometimes it is to wash out those old beliefs that we maybe believed that were not biblical. And so, and the same thing with Daniel too. You know, looking at Daniel, the story of Daniel, this is still in the book of Daniel, and Daniel in the lion's den, these people, these same people, plotted out to get away with Daniel because he was so wise. And the king had to command that Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. And you know, I'm sure Daniel had all these people praying for him during these times, but God's deliverance for him and God's plan for him wasn't to necessarily remove the hard circumstance, but it was getting him through the hard circumstance for the glory of God. And so, you know, in these hard circumstances we face, in the fiery furnace, in the den of lions, whatever your circumstance looks like, maybe it's a miscarriage, maybe it's losing a loved one, maybe it's a fractured relationship, we sometimes have to go through the trial to get to the other side. Sometimes it is going through the hard thing for us to be able to say, God be glorified. And in sharing my struggle, I want to share with you guys is that I know we want to sometimes bypass those hard things. We want to bypass the valley, but the only way to get through those things is to submit to this process that God has for us in being brought low into the valley. And it builds character for us. It builds our faith, and it tears down the things that don't stand the test of the fire and builds us back with a stronger foundation for Christ. And so if I can offer you any encouragement in your season, it's that yes, you may be brought low, but going through this trial is going to help you build back stronger. So in sharing my story and kind of sharing why sometimes deliverance looks like going through the fire and you have to be brought low in these valleys, ultimately it is for our good. And that is something I have learned, is I hate the pain. And I've said this in podcasts in the past of like, I hate the pain, but I try and also know that it's good for me, and embrace kind of the process of the refinement. Because if God is the potter and I am the clay, you know, he doesn't just leave the clay out to dry and crack. Because, you know, so often, you know, we get molded into whatever vessel God has us to be, you know, cup, whatever, pitcher. And, you know, if that potter was just to leave that out and not treat it, it would dry, it'd crack, it'd be brittle, it wouldn't stand the test of time, it wouldn't be able to endure the elements of the weather. But God in his goodness and his love, he molds us, but he doesn't leave us after we're formed. He refines us, and that refining process is like pottery. It goes into the kiln and it's tested under the fire. And, you know, sometimes we don't come out as unscathed as Daniel in the lion's den. Sometimes we have singed eyebrows. Sometimes we have a limp. Sometimes we feel wounded in that. But in his love, he knows that putting us through those tests where our faith is tested, of where we get met with the rubber of our faith meeting the road and saying, is this what I believe about who God says he is? It builds endurance in us. It builds perseverance in our faith, but it also builds our strength. It builds us. We're more firm in who we are in Christ, and it gets rid of impurities in us as well. It's the same thing, kind of like the process of being a silversmith back in the day, who would refine silver or refine gold, is to get these impurities out of it. They had to bring this precious metal into the fire. And here's the thing, the really beautiful thing about this is, you know, a silversmith doesn't just leave it there on the fire unattended. He's there, he's working it, and so is the potter, you know. And what happens once all these impurities get you know, brought to such a high temperature that they get, you know, brought out of the silver or brought out of the gold? It becomes a mirror. It becomes so clear and so pure. And you want to know whose image it reflects? Its maker. It reflects the silversmith, or, you know, the gold reflects the image of the one that is crafting it. And you can see that image in there. So in going through these refining process, we're reflecting the image of Christ. And that's what I've learned through this process. And through knowing that I can bring comfort through other people who've experienced this, I am okay with bringing the wounds to light, even knowing it's a sensitive thing, even though I know not everyone likes it when you share these things. But I know the message that God has in this is greater than, you know, me necessarily wanting to hide something. And so I wanted to share, because whether or not you decide you want to share your story, that's up to you. But there's no shame in experiencing a miscarriage, and it does bring fears to us. And sometimes we want to avoid the really hard thing, but God has a beautiful plan and purpose through that. And even though it is like life-altering wounds, of where maybe we really are damaged, of where we have this thorn, or maybe you feel like you have a whole chunk missing at times, God is such a faithful healer, and He doesn't leave us through the process. And you know, in sharing my story, you know, it's also celebrating the life that was worth infinite amount of value, regardless of the size they were, regardless of where they were located. They had immense value. They had a purpose while they were here. And even though I would much rather hold my child in my arms, I know that God's purpose and His ways are much above mine. And so in sharing my story, I hope that it can give comfort to other people who've experienced this, and maybe a little bit more understanding. But I also just want to give other people a space to feel like they can share their story if they want to. There's no shame in that. You know, I never question, or, you know, there's this fear of bringing up your miscarriage of like people are going to bring up reasons as to why it might have happened, or judge you, or judge what your body looks like, or judge your lifestyle. And ultimately, I think that we should just drop those things and just love on those people. And I've been very fortunate that I have a community around me who, when they heard the news, they dropped everything to be there for us. And if I can be the hands and foot of Jesus in sharing my story, that's why I share it. And to be real, to be honest, to not add to the glorified Instagram reel of like everything's always perfect. And so in sharing my story, I hope it can bring you hope. And I hope you can understand a little bit why people choose to share or not share. And there's not a right or wrong way. You know, something my friends were telling me over these last couple weeks is you don't owe anyone anything. If you don't want to tell people, you don't owe people that. But for me, opening up is, God, this is the ministry you've given me, and it's not going to be the same for everyone. This is the ministry you've given me. This is the wounds I have right now. But Lord, take my mess and make it into your message, and submitting to that process. And if by sharing my story, I can help one other person, or help you, or glorify God, that is worth it to me. And so share, don't share, you know, there's not a right or wrong. But I hope that could kind of clarify more of why we decided to share the second time around. And I hope that in sharing, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I hope in sharing Daniel, and I hope in sharing, you know, the potter story and the silversmith, that it could bring you comfort in knowing that God doesn't leave you. As He refines you, He's there. He's faithful the entire time. You just need to reach out and call out to Him. He's right there with you in it. And sometimes it does feel like He's absent. And sometimes it does feel like He's far away from us. But He will never leave us or forsake us. And He's near to us in our brokenheartedness. And every time I've ever called out to Jesus, He's just always been so faithful to walk through the valley with me. So whether you are walking in the valley with me today, or whether you're up on the mountaintop, I just hope that you can find hope in my story, and know that there's hope for your story too. And so I'm going to pray for us before this podcast is done. But yeah, that's kind of my message. That's kind of my testimony that I'm sharing with you guys today. And I hope that you can understand a little bit better of why these hard things happen to us sometimes. So let me pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you take our messes and you make them into a message. And thank you that even though I've experienced these hard things, that there's a purpose to them. I hope that I could give people some hope and encouragement today, wherever they're at, whether they're in their valley or mountain, and just a better perspective and understanding of why sometimes we are brought low, and that it's a process that stings, but it is ultimately for our good. I pray for anyone that's experiencing a lot of pain right now, Lord, that you would just be near to them, that you would give them the peace that passes understanding, and that you would just be faithful in walking out this season with them and let them know that they're not alone. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I hope that you could enjoy this podcast. I hope that wherever you're at in your season, that you would just be reminded that God is always faithful and he's always with us every step of the way, and that may God be glorified through us sharing our messages, and that you would have hope. So guys, I'll see you guys next week. But before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you do me a favor? I know there's many of you guys out there that listen, but something that really, really helps the podcast is when I get reviews. And I think I maybe have one review right now, but what really helps the podcast being seen and what helps get this message of hope being spread to other people is when you review my podcast or when you share my podcast on social media platforms. And I would love to do more podcasts like this. I'd love to have more guests on. And it just helps me when I get those things into the algorithm. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you listened to it, would you do me a favor? Just leave a 5-star review. Just say, you know, great job, or, you know, you don't even necessarily have to write anything, but it just really helps the podcast out. So I hope that you guys would take a minute just to do that. It's so fast. And I will see you guys next week for another episode of the podcast. See you guys. Bye.